Hi, good morning, everyone. Wow, this is loud. Okay. I'll open us up in prayer. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this morning. And God, we just come here in surrender, just wanting to lift our day up to you, starting the day with you. And I pray that you'll meet with every single person here in this room and all those who are part of our church. And I pray for myself, Lord, as I share the word and share our devotional, that I would just speak from my heart and from you, Lord God. And help me to speak clearly and just really share what is on your heart today. And I thank you for all these things. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so today's devotional is on page 132, and I'll start off by reading the Bible verse, which is Luke 14:25-35. The cross is costly. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And the devotion, "Can I be a believer but not a disciple?" I was once asked. "What do you think is the difference between a believer and a disciple?" I responded. Candidly, she answered, "There are higher requirements for disciples. The truth is, whether you claim to be a believer or a follower, Jesus gives no excuse. If anyone comes to me and does not hate, they cannot be my disciple. Hate is an exaggeration normal in this kind of teaching. It does not mean alienation from people or being destructive of one's own life. Rather, it emphasizes that nothing should limit the freedom to follow Jesus. Jesus sees himself not only as our Savior, but also our Lord, our Master. One cannot serve two masters. Either you will devote to one and despise the other. Some might think, 'I won't deny that I'm a believer of Jesus,' but to follow him closely is another story. It depends on the cost I have to pay. Throughout my journey of following Jesus, I have learned something precious. Though the cost of obedience is high, that of disobedience is always higher, if not unbearable. The cross is costly and radical. It is not moderate. Just as you would not order a cup of lukewarm coffee or a warm ice cream, it's either hot or cold. The same principle applies to your relationship with your master." Okay. So the first thing I thought of, or that popped to mind when I read through this devotional, I was like, oh, this is P. Eugene's sermon, the one about DTRing and, you know, are you a fan or a follower? Fans wear the cross, followers bear the cross, right? Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I should just repeat what he said. I decided to just focus on a few verses of this Bible verse and just kind of explain it, and then also at the end just share how I felt about this devotional at the end. So yesterday's devotional hinted that issues, other issues became high priorities for the original invitees to God's kingdom. So yesterday there was a banquet, and they planned this big banquet, but all the invitees had other excuses for not coming. So that was yesterday's devotional, but today's Bible passage and devotional makes it clear that people, that they should count the cost of following Jesus, because there will be difficult times, and success as a disciple will not come easily. So the Bible passage starts off, and Jesus turns around and says to the large crowd, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate my father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." And I remember reading this a while ago, years and years ago, and thinking, oh man, he's a bit hardcore, you know, like, how can you hate your family? And so I looked up, I did some research, and I realized that, you know, what Jesus is asking for is not for us to hate people in our lives, but he is asking for first place in his heart. And hate is used figuratively here to emphasize the importance of our relationship with God. The point is that no other relationship is first for a disciple, that Jesus is first, and to follow Jesus means to follow Jesus and nothing else or anyone else. And so as I was reading and meditating on this Bible passage and devotional, I realized that as Christians, we often forget what the cross means. I think we quite often remember it's about grace. The cross represents God's love. It represents his mercy on us. But I think, well, this is for me, I often forget that the cross is actually one of the most brutal forms of punishment. And so if we are to follow Jesus, then we share in his sufferings and his pain. For us to go through hardship and persecution in this world is actually expected, because that's what Jesus had endured, and the cross is just so much more than just God's love and his grace, and it's all sort of tied together. So yeah, there is a cost to being a disciple, and in this passage, Jesus is really honest with us, and he doesn't mess around. He gets straight to the point, and he wants us to think about the cost of following him. He tells the crowd that it's not an easy road, and that we need to really think about the reality of what it means to follow him. He shares two illustrations, one, a man building a tower, and two, a king who is about to wage war against another king. In both illustrations, Jesus shows two people, a man and a king, different situations, but they both reflect on their plans before they take action. The man building a tower does not want to start building a tower to realize at the end that he cannot finish. And the king doesn't want to go to war and come back defeated. So they will always plan and reflect and count the cost. And I think just in the same way, when God, he decided to send his one and only son, his one and only son to this world, I don't think this would have come easy either. I know he's God and he's almighty and all things are possible. But, you know, as if I don't have kids of my own, but when I think about a father sending a child, or his one and only son, to be beaten, crushed and humiliated for a world so that we can be saved, I think God would have really thought about it and planned it, and, like, you know, he would have really counted the cost. And But you know, God sent Jesus anyway, and it was a real big cost for him, but he allowed it because he loved us. And he did it anyway, even though it was painful. So, you know, I was really challenged quite a bit and humbled when reading this. And when I was meditating this, all I could think was, oh, crap, can I do this? I know, like, you know, we sing songs, you know, all things are possible and, you know, God, you're my strength and, you know, I trust in you. But I was like, really, like, this life that God calls us to live, it sounds so tough, and do I even want to be part of this? You know, it's so much easier to sit back and relax and just be comfortable. But then at the end, the passage says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile, they throw it away. So I feel like the cost of not following God is even greater. After some thought and prayer, I realized that when I focus on all the things and all the things that will be costly or the things that I will lose or give up, I will always be doubtful and fearful. It's like, what I look at, what I focus on will determine my reaction and my emotions. But when I focus on God, I have confidence that he will always be with me and strengthen me, and that his love will never fail me, and that the joy I have when I follow him will never fail. And you know, God is so faithful and so loyal to us, and Jesus has gone before us, and he will show us how to live this life as a disciple. And also, I'm not alone. I have brothers and sisters in this church to walk with and to press forward with, and I think that's the beauty of church and community, and just sharing in our struggles, knowing that you know, we have each other to lean on. So in faith, I was like praying, saying, oh God, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough, but I know that there is a greater reward in heaven. And even though I cannot see it, in faith, I will follow you. I just wanted to share that today. So if I can ask Nate to come up for worship. I'll read out the questions that the devotional has. So, what is your status now? A believer, a traveler, or a disciple? Or do you want to draw back? Are you traveling or walking with Jesus? What cost are you willing to pay in order to walk with Jesus and follow him as a disciple? Jesus will not lower his requirement. The question is, are you willing to give up everything to follow him? Father, have mercy on me. Open my spiritual eyes so I can see the kingdom of God and find the pearl, so that I'm willing to lay down everything in this world to follow you wholeheartedly. Help me be willing to be disciplined by you as a true child and become a salt and light in this world of darkness. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I've decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning. Cross before me, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's just have a time where we just reflect on today's devotional, maybe we can ask ourselves, am I willing to pay the cost in order to walk and follow Jesus? And if it's difficult to answer, then it's okay. Like, God knows exactly where we're at, and He meets us where we're at. So let's just spend some time just meditating and reflecting on what it means to follow Jesus and where we stand with that. Let's pray for Andrew Ho, who wrote today's devotional. He's the General Secretary of Kingdom Ministries and the Executive Director of Elim Development Limited. Let's pray for him and his wife. He also has two sons. So let's just pray that, in his work and in his ministry, that he will always continue to surrender his plans and that God will continue to use him in Hong Kong. Thank you. And if we could turn to the first community prayer slide. Let's pray for all of those with cancer. We've seen some people come off this list and some people stay on for a long time. So I encourage you to just choose one or two people and really intercede for them this morning. Evane gave me an update about her auntie, and she had treatment, and she came away feeling absolutely no pain, and I think things are looking good. So just praise God for that. If we can move to the next slide, let's pray for our family members that are unwell and also need salvation. Let's just pray and that, you know, that they will, that, you know, Jesus will come, and really that they will open up their hearts to the Lord, and that they will come and be saved, and God will heal their hearts. And also pray for healing, God's healing hand, to be over their lives. Let's pray. Next slide, please. Let's cover all the people on this list, and just pray for God's healing hand to come, that they will all encounter God's love, and in this time that they will not worry or fear. Let's pray also for their family members who will be able to come around them and just really support them in this time. Let's pray. If we could pray for those who are looking for employment. Let's pray that in this time as they wait, that they will not grow impatient, but they'll continue to press in and persevere as they wait upon God's provision. In this time that they will focus on spending time with God and just recognizing who He is in their lives, and Yeah, let's just pray for their hearts, as waiting process can be quite weary. So yeah, let's just pray for strength as they wait. Slide, please. Our mission focus for today is for Cambodia. It's cover our sisters Grace Chung and Ashley who are at Bloom, and Pastor Robert O and Pastor Tang. It's cover that their ministries will continue to be led by the Holy Spirit, and also that just for protection over there. There's just so much going on spiritually, and also visible to the eye as well, like on the streets. So let's just pray for just a revival in Cambodia, that all those that are lost will be saved and come to know God. And let's lift up the board, Pastor Sam, Lisa, Hyde, Janie, Tom, Kiwan, Brian, myself, as a secretary. If you could just lift us, lift the group up, and let's pray for God's wisdom as they make decisions and discuss things at the church. Let's pray at every meeting that the Holy Spirit will guide every conversation and every discussion, and that God's wisdom will really be upon them. Let's pray. Let's pray for the men's and women's ministries. I think there's a lot planned for this year, including retreats, and so let's pray for the leaders, and let's pray that this ministry, through this ministry, that our church will see mighty men and women raised up. So let's pray. Thank you. And next on is point 4, SP 2.0, our new building, and the donor that was prophesied to us. Let's just pray, and as we remember how God has provided for us, let's just pray faith for our new building, that it'll be exactly what we need. The rooms will be the size that we need them to be. We'll have all the providers, all of the things, all the plans that will go into it. Let's just pray in faith, and also pray for the donor, whoever it is, and whatever form it may come in. Let's just pray in faith that we will recognize it, and that God, as God leads us, the Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to listen and hear from Him. Cover our house churches tonight. It's quite a few: Causeway Bay, Island, Sha Tin, Kennedy, Robinson West, Happy Valley, and Mac Robinson. First, let's cover the leaders, and just pray for a wisdom as they just minister and facilitate the house church tonight. And let's pray for encounters of God tonight, that every single person that comes will encounter God's love, and that the members of the house church's hearts will be open to just receive that love as well. Lord God, we just thank you just for your word today. We are, Lord, so in need of you and your grace and of your mercy and your love every day, Lord God. And we thank you for your grace, Lord, that even though, Lord, when we are faithless, Lord God, you are so faithful to us, and you call us your sons and your daughters. Even when we reject you as a father, God, you are that father that just comes and runs to us, lifts up your cloak and just runs to us. And we thank you, God. And as we continue this journey, Lord, as a disciple, as a follower of you, I pray that, God, that we'll fix our eyes on you, that the decision that we have made to follow you, God, it didn't come lightly, and so I pray, God, that we will just continue to have faith and continue to trust in you. Lord, I pray for our church to be one that raises mighty men and women, Lord, that we will continue to stand together strong and united in this race that we are in, Lord. I pray for every single person in this room, and also those members who are not here, Lord. I pray that just for protection over them as they continue their day, Lord, that nothing will come in the way nothing will come in the way, Lord, of encountering you today, Lord. Pray, Lord, that in their workplaces, in their relationships, in their homes, in their schools, or that that will be the light, the salt and the light, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, so much. We love you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.